Bad and the Guilty is recorded live with the men and women of law enforcement. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Now, here's your host, Iredell County Sheriff, Darren Campbell.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
All right. Good afternoon, folks. Thank you for that sign there, Joe. See, I heard the Sheriff Campbell introduction, and I was so excited to say, here I am again. It's me. Sheriff Campbell, he was seen headed out of town. He's on his way to Raleigh. I know there was an important meeting this evening that they had to be at, and hopefully the traffic's not going to slow him up any. So he is headed there. You guys are stuck with me again this week. Captain Matt Burleson, thank you for having us back on the show. The good, the bad, and the guilty. Joe, I really like the new graphic that you've got there, too. So it's the first time I've seen that. So the behind the bars look. So very nice, very nice. We've got the great studio here. If you guys are live on Facebook, you can check us out. Be sure to share that with your friends. Let them know we're live on here. We've got we've taken questions by telephone at the 1-844-STUDIO-4, the nationwide universal intergalactic phone number now. It's no longer just a stateful prefix, so you can find us anywhere, 844-STUDIO-4. And we're in studio, so I've got my good friend, Deputy Brad Stroud Jr. here with me today. So welcome, Brad.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Brad and I have been friends at the agency here for many years. He's had a busy day today with one of the press releases we're talking about. He's going to talk about part of his duty, his job. And so we'll talk about a little bit of where you came from, where you've been, and where you are now, but I appreciate you coming out here today. We've had a lot of stuff going on, as you can tell, if you've tuned into Facebook and looked at some of our press releases and look at some of the information that we put out there. It's been a busy few weeks, and just like the title of the show, the good, the bad, and there's guilty, and so we continue to do what we need to do out there. The sheriff's got some good folks, good resources, good opportunities to take care of the bad guys, put those away, and we're still bringing the good things that we can do to the community, making sure that we're here for them, doing what they need to do. I know that this weekend is a big weekend. What's the big thing that goes on every weekend that I've been at? Have you been to work at the weekends?
The volleyball season is here.
So I think, Brad, you were going to announce on the air that you were going to coach next year.
I know nothing about volleyball, but I will do my best. So I have coached Little League.
Well, let me explain
basketball.
To you. You don't need to know anything. I know nothing about volleyball. I didn't realize that they were six players on a side because I remember the high school volleyball. Well, I guess it was more like middle school when you had like 12 people and you had to rotate. And
that's what I remember.
Yes, exactly. So you didn't have the rotation that I was able to orchestrate. So it's kind of like a little round robin dance thing. Somebody heard me say this on the radio show a couple weeks ago. I was that guy that just rotated in the middle, spun around and I'm done. Just pass me over. Hey, you want to take my serve? I guess in baseball there's pinch hitters. I had pinch servers, pinch blockers, pinch spikers. I just stood there. They worked around me.
Height and volleyball kind of go together.
Folks on air, you can't see that, but we did have to lower Brad's seat a little bit. He's a big old guy, and I'm just normal size. Not compact size, but normal size. Fun size. So there you go. Economic. So guys, volleyball is going on. It has been going on for the last 3 weeks. It has been a great time. And as I told you, I really know nothing about it. I've been able to come out and take part in some really cool games, seeing a lot of these parents come out and root for their kids, the kids having a good time, ages 9 to the 13, 14. We've got a JV and a varsity. And all I know is for a couple of weeks we've been together, not only has the JV increased their skills, But these little kids grow in 3 weeks too. I mean, they get taller, so they've grown up. But yeah, this was my first week that I was flying solo for a few hours because we did have a busy scene incident, critical incident going on in Mooresville on Saturday, and so my backups, so to speak, needed to go elsewhere. And so the training wheels came off, and I could handle it all on my own. So and I did that with the help of some great coaches and some great officers and stuff to come by. So Mountain Melt is our food truck for this Saturday. I'm told it's a grilled cheese type truck. I mean, anytime you got melted cheese and, you know, throw that between some bread, I'm thinking if maybe there's bacon, anything, you know, bacon makes everything better. But yeah, so the Mountain Melt and J-Lo's Boba.
I'm going to leave all that to you because
okay.
I don't know
what
a
bubble is. So there was a food truck roundup that the Otter County Parks and Recreation put on that the Sheriff's Office was invited to. We had our mobile classroom out there. And I happened to go out there and find this boba tea place. And so they're, I will not say what they are, but they're little pearls, little balls, little juicy tidbits of goodness that's in the drink. And there's actually a straw that they're able to flow through, but I can't say what a boba is, but it's quite delicious.
Have to try it.
Yes, you can on Saturday. Yes, so great. Come out and see us on Saturday for that opportunity to take part in those games with us, and it's just it's a good time. So also on Saturday, and I think this is what you were alluding to, is our next RAD course. Have you had a chance to participate in any of the RAD stuff?
No, okay. I haven't. There's a lot of people around me in the SVU, of course.
Right.
I work out of the SVU, but right. There's a lot of folks that have dealings with that. And
yeah, and that's what I was thinking. Because of the investigative unit that your particular position is attached to, those guys are the RAD instructors. We've got them from different units throughout the agency, but RAD is the Rape Aggression Defense, and RAD is free. It is a nationally recognized course. It is for women only. Guys, stay behind. We will not teach you. We are teaching the women only on how to defend themselves in case of attack, talking about some good mindset issues, ways to not become a victim. So is there
critically thinking, how to avoid certain situations, right. Just being present where you're
situational
at all times.
Situational awareness.
Yep,
very good. And so that is an all-day thing on Saturday, this Saturday, April 27th. We're going to be at our new training center. If you've not had a chance to, I guess you wouldn't have had a chance to be there because this is the first class we've offered there. 1714 Wilkesboro Highway. It's the old Gardner Well building. It's our new training center, the Sheriff's Office Annex. Nice sign up there. We're really, really privileged to have a place to be able to do that at. So, guys, this is free of charge. Get on Instagram, get on Facebook, get on the telephone, get on the app. You're able to sign up for this this Saturday. We're doing it 8 to 5, and Sunday you come back and you actually fight the man in red man suit. So
that's what I want to sign up for.
Yes, to be in the suit. Guys, we'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll get started with meeting Brad Stroud. Thank you. Stay tuned.
Keep it right here. The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell will return after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Now, back to more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back, folks. We're live in studio here at WSIC. You can get us on the telephone, 844-STUDIO-4, or live on Facebook as well. I'm looking, I don't see any comments. No hellos, no goodbyes. But we're here. Where are you guys at? So tune in. Give us a listen. We've got a special guest here with us today. Sheriff couldn't be with us. He was out of town or headed out of town just as the show was beginning, going to Raleigh for an after an evening important meeting. But Brad Stroud, Deputy Brad Stroud, you were with us several years back. I know you've got some patrol experience, quite a few years. But then you tell us about your history. But then you came back and you are a sex offender compliance officer.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. So kind of start off, I started in the jail, worked my way out of there, and mm-hmm. then I did about 7 years, I'd say, on patrol. Mm-hmm. Spent a little time in the investigative division mm-hmm. as a detective, and then went down to the cops unit in Mooresville. So I've kind of been around the ringer. Left for about 6 years and mm-hmm. decided to come back 2 years ago. Crazy enough, I missed this place and missed all the action.
Yep.
When I came back, Sheriff Campbell decided to put me at SVU. I asked for it. I got
right,
it.
Right.
And so now I get to deal with the sex offenders on the registry here in the county, all the different ones, all up and down from the far south to the far north.
Exactly. And I know we're going to you did a great job bringing in numbers here. We'll talk more specifically about that. But you mentioned Special Victims Unit. I know Sheriff Campbell has at least doubled, if not tripled, the size of the unit since he took office. And, you know, because of the needs for those special victims, having the Economic Crimes Division, I know they've grown three or four times the size.
Yes, sir.
Dealing with fraud cases and identity theft, and the domestic violence, those detectives also increased a couple of those, and then the sex offenses, even the child sex offenses and adult sex offenses, but then you guys are the uniformed, and I say you guys, you have a partner as well because
yes,
you can't do it alone. There's a lot of work you do, but you're the uniformed arm, so to speak, of that Special Victims Unit. So what would a uniformed deputy be able to do with an investigative unit?
So I get to do all the fun stuff. I have a lot of different jobs within my discipline. There's four,
right.
Like you said, four different disciplines within the SVU, the fraud, mm-hmm. Domestic violence, sex crimes.
Okay.
And then there's the sex offender registry unit.
Mm-hmm. So,
my job as the compliance, I get to go deal with the sex offenders, and I totally investigate from front to back, arrest all parts of that.
Right.
But I also get to be the uniform when we go with search warrants. Mm. If SVU sex crimes find somebody they think has child porn,
right.
or there's something on a search warrant just in general, because that's where that investigation led.
Right.
I get to go kind of be the tip of that spear. I get to right. serve all the warrants for all of SVU.
Right.
And there's other guys that also do it, but I kind of get first dibs. So,
oh, yeah.
On the domestic violence side, we have a paper called an ex parte. I don't know how many people are familiar, but it's basically a restraining order, and I serve all of them as well.
Okay. So. Ex parte is Latin for one party or absence of another party. How's that? Okay.
That's right. Why I called it a restraining order, because I don't know Latin. But
yes.
I think you're right.
Yeah. It means, if I'm correct, that it's one party's side, or so to speak. Everyone has their day in court, I guess you could say. But if you're in a relationship and you are in fear, you go to the clerk's office, you get this restraining order, and you serve it, and you kick him or her out, or say, stay away from this, other person. And it's like 7 days?
7 to 10 days, usually, yeah. before the court date where the other party gets to tell their side of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, then the other party comes in. And then if it's upheld, you have a year of restraintment from seeing that person.
And then can be extended after that even.
Right.
So.
And there's a few special circumstances for folks that are served on. Sometimes they're evicted, other times, but all the time they lose something, right? What do
yeah,
you take?
It's usually a no contact order is kind
right.
of the basis of it. It creates separation between two people that are obviously not getting along in
right.
a toxic situation.
Right.
But on top of that, there's, I jokingly say it's kind of like a country song. You lose your truck, you can lose your dog, you can lose your guns.
Yes, that's what I was getting at. You have to seize those weapons many times. And, there's some folks out there that with great collections, and you're not taking them away. You're taking them for, I guess, safekeeping, or you're going to, once this has been disposed of, they can
have to go back through the courts to get it. released. And,
right.
And when it comes to those big collections, we definitely have the team involved.
Yes.
Because it's, we try to take care of folks' guns. We're definitely pro-gun, or I am.
Right, right.
And,
but
know.
But it's a great thing to be able to have this in play, to be able to protect that victim before they become a victim, because they've taken that step and we're going to help them. Now, sex offender registry. I believe I've heard the sheriff speak on that being a constitutional sheriff's mandate. Is that something they have to, you know, the sheriff is responsible for the civil papers and for the detention center, you know, and Sheriff Campbell's over the other 100 sheriffs as the Sheriff's Association. But I believe sex offender compliance has something to do with sheriff's responsibility as well.
I know it's different in some other states, but
right.
But from everything that I know in North Carolina, the county sheriff does deal with it in each county.
I mean, you don't have like the city of Troutman or Mooresville going out checking sex offenders.
No, not
I
at
mean,
all. They don't do
They have access to the registry just like any citizen does.
Right. And they can charge if they find a violation.
Right, exactly. Yep.
But as far as maintaining the documents, the records, it's part of, it's almost part of the, like the civil side. We maintain the registry.
Right. The
There's
sheriff's office has got that.
Yeah.
Yep. And so you are responsible for checking on these guys, gals, people, making sure they are where they say they are, who they say they are, given the address that they're supposed to, not around the certain people they can be. And, you know, I work with the school resource officers, so a lot of my guys and gals have called you about, you know, certain legal reasons to be here or how they can do that.
Got a case from one of your deputies this week,
right.
or last week.
Right.
Had a registered sex offender on school grounds that shouldn't have been there.
Right. So. And that was something that was swiftly handled. I know those are felony charges.
Yes, sir.
Just like a detective would, you go and get those felony warrants and go pick them up and put them in jail, do whatever you need to do with that. How many registered sex offenders do we have in Idaho County?
So that's a fluid situation, I'll tell you that. That
okay.
is something that definitely does change. Month to month.
Oh, I see. Okay, I see your numbers here. So it looks like last year around 350, 340, 350.
I roughly tell people 340.
Right.
That's about where it stays.
Okay, all right. And what you say that it changes is when someone leaves the state or the county, they have to register in that county, but it's almost like a revolving door. If one goes out, one comes in.
Yeah, and it's the number grows. I mean, that's one of the things that with this, I definitely have seen growth since I've been doing this about 2 years,
mm-hmm.
almost 2 years. I think
mm-hmm.
June will be 2 years. And that number will grow.
Right.
I mean, typically when there's four different classifications, let's say it that way. There's four different classifications of sex offenders. So there's general, there's recidivist, there's aggravated, and then there's one that you have to be, a doctor has to diagnose you with a sexual predator.
Okay.
The general offenders can come off of this. They're the only ones that can. They have to stay a minimum of 10 years.
Right.
So typically we're getting a whole lot more coming in than we're coming off.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so that number's growing mm-hmm. and, you know, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. It definitely, they do move around a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I try to get them to move out of Iredell County the best I can. So I try to run them off as best I can.
Thank you for bringing that up. I don't know how the sheriff would have said it quite that way, but I know that's what it meant. We're not here to make it, you know, welcome to Iredell County, take all your sex offenders, we'll make you comfortable. No. You know, before the sun comes up, you might be knocking on that door 3 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
And then when they're back to bed, there could be a 4 o'clock knock.
Absolutely.
And now the rooster's crowing, it's 6 o'clock. I just want to make sure I saw you 2 hours ago, but you're still here. Okay, that's good. All right. So that can happen. And I know that you guys, the sheriff has all hands on deck come Halloween and some of our other events and holidays like that, making sure they're exactly where they're supposed to be and not where they're not supposed to be.
Yeah, Halloween is definitely our biggest operation. We try to
we just try to
hit them as hard as we can,
mm-hmm.
and we try to show up at the events as we can as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yep.
I mean, the thing is, anybody can go on our app and look and see who's around them and see faces,
yeah.
but I deal with them on a regular basis, so I go and I see faces. There's been a couple times, even off duty, that I have swore out charges and
yeah.
got people locked up and when I was off duty. So
But we're never off duty. I mean, that's one of the things. We might not be in uniform, but you know, our oath that we took with the sheriff's signature on that says, you know, when in Iredell County, we're always. Always on duty. And so, yeah, if we're out at Walmart or we're out somewhere and we see a sex offender and we know we're not supposed to be with that child or a domestic violence situation, and you know you just told him to stay away from her and they're together at, you know, cookout, we got a problem. So
there's a lot of gratification in this, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get to look into these guys that have already been convicted of something a lot of times heinous. So.
Right, right, exactly. And so homeless. I've seen them walk in the sheriff's office, and that's almost like daily, because they're homeless and they're registering, keeping up with the registry.
So state law says that they have to still tell us where they're hanging out, mm-hmm. Even if it's a tree by a rock by a bench, you know, they have to let us know, and they have to give us some kind of location where they're hanging out.
Do you go out to that tree by the rock by the bench?
We actually have some. Yeah. Huts, tents, places that we kind of know where they're at.
Outstanding. Guys, tune in. We'll be right back. Let your neighbors and friends and family know. We are on The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty here on WSIC. We'll be back in a second.
Don't go anywhere. We'll have more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty coming up right after these messages on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty continues now. Here's your host, Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell, on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're on The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty here in WSIC. My special guest today is Deputy Brad Stroud with the Iredell County Sheriff's Office Special Victims Unit, Sex Offender Compliance.
Division.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is. You got a couple officers that do that. I know one of the most recent, Ben Paget, was just added to the unit as well, another uniformed arm of the Special Victims Unit. So during the break, we were talking about you know, the hours that go into the investigation and the work behind this, finding where these folks are. And, you know, before the break, we was talking about the tree, the rock, the tent, the whatever. So you know these people.
Yeah.
They know you.
Yeah.
So once you've...
Whether they like it or not.
Exactly right. Yep. And so they need to let you know if they're going out of town or doing something or that type of stuff, right? I mean, is that...
Yeah, there's definitely certain parameters. It depends on time frame. I mean, there is, if they're going to go out of town on vacation, that's one thing. If they're going to go much longer than that, then we're going to handle that differently.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And it is a very, the law regarding registry and why this position is because it's his own set and separate than anything I ever did on patrol when I was in property crimes.
Yeah. And I've noticed you before. They meet with you at the sheriff's office out front. It's not like a, hey, come over here, we'll keep it quiet. No, meet in the front. We've got a table. They take your picture, put you in the book. They come in and check in, fingerprint.
Fingerprint.
And you're explaining to them all the here's what you got. This is what's going to be expected of you. And so they know all their expectations.
Yeah, we go through it thoroughly because we don't want to hear the excuse later when they're not doing things they're supposed to do.
Well, they wouldn't come up with an excuse. They've come up with
that. It has happened a time or
two. Exactly. And so any hours, you guys, I know, work a different schedule. You know, sometimes we try to catch lunch and you're like, no, I'm just coming in. I'm working tonight, working late. I know the sheriff appreciates your dedication and getting that done. And even when you're off, so that's important as well.
I appreciate the chance of doing this. Like I said, this is probably the most fun job I've ever had within the sheriff's office. So I really enjoy that. You know,
well,
a lot of these people, you know, have. It's part of paying the cost of doing whatever they did in the first place to get on it. So I kind of get to pick on people that pick on people.
I love it. Exactly right. And I know that it makes a difference. I mean, I can't imagine not having a person like you or this position where someone's like, hey, I'm a registered sex offender, you know, and that's it. Especially with the neighbors that call, or I mean, because you can go on, you know, our school resource officers have went on and checked the surrounding area of the schools by using our app, and anyone can get the app. It's free. They'll, you know, you can put in on the SBI's the website, and it will tell you when someone moves into your area that's a sex offender. It'll give you that address, give you that idea. And I know, you know, there's calls and questions that come into you. So you're dealing with people that are scared or worried or wondering. But then you deal with like you said earlier, it's not like you're trying to make it comfortable for them.
Right.
But yeah, they've got their expectations. And
if you'll let me, I'll say this real quick. The best tool that we have to be aware, like we're talking about situational awareness,
right,
is the app. I talked about it last time I was on radio. If anybody's out there wanting to know what's around them, mm-hmm, I mean, it shows where you're at, and it shows the people around you. It shows their charges.
Right.
It shows their picture.
Yep.
Like you can know, I mean, a lot of us are parents. A lot of us are our aunts and uncles, grandparents, just mm-hmm, knowing what's around you.
Right.
And, you know, at least at one time what they were capable of and right, convicted on.
Right.
So, and on that note, there's, you know, places to submit tips. If yep, there's questions on the registry, like I said, it's very specific law. If there's something that can be done, the citizens are the eyes and ears of the sheriff's department. So
absolutely,
you let us know what's going on. If it's nothing, I'll tell you it's nothing. If
right,
it's, but hey, we're going to keep looking at this. Mm-hmm. Now I know you, and mm-hmm, now I have another set of eyes on another sex offender. So it's wonderful. It's really great. Really look into the app if this is something you're interested in.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you're serious about it because, I remember one of the schools had a question about an address, and like, I think there was a tape pulled couple hundred feet across, you know, from yeah, point to point.
It's a rolling wheel. It's a measuring wheel.
Okay.
I use that thing all the time, just making sure they're within the boundaries they're supposed to be, property line to property line. It's
nice.
Actually some case law made here in this county years
right,
ago had to do with being too close to schools or daycares.
Right.
And they changed it from, I think, the brick and mortar to
yep,
the property line to property line. So that's really cool here for Iredale, and
nice,
specifically involving the sex offender registry.
Very nice.
So, wow.
And that's important. I mean, and that's the kind of stuff that I know Sheriff Campbell works on with the Sheriff's Association. I mean, that kind of stuff, it was changed here in this county. I know it can be taken statewide or whatever.
No, it's statewide now because of it. Yeah.
Oh.
It's actually wrote that way in the, I guess, the amended versions of
okay,
the sex offender registry.
Right. And that's important. I mean, I've never thought about it at that point. But if you've got a property line and fenced in area, you could have kids at the fence line. Well, you know, that's where it starts. It doesn't mean the house or the
yeah,
structure. It could be at the other side of it. So
yeah, if you've got a school and the children are allowed to be on the farthest side where the playground's at,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know, not just the brick and mortar.
Right. So, right. And these guys.
And that's the number one, keeping folks away from the protected locations,
right,
where
right,
places intended for children.
Right.
That's the whole real point of keeping checks on where these people are at.
Right.
And so stuff like what has happened before doesn't happen again.
Right.
So.
Yep, making that difference. We did some interviews at the office the other day, and they were discussing the school resource officer position. And one of the things they had said was, you know, this is a position that I feel like I can make a difference. So you know you're making a difference for the victims and, you know, all the way around. So we appreciate what you do and how you do that. And I know that this is not a division that you want to grow, but you do want it to grow because we can check on them three times a day instead of the once or twice a day if we need to.
Well, I'll tell you one of the bigger things I think that's helped just getting eyes on those protected locations when Sheriff Campbell got – however he does his magic and got the SROs in your elementary
yep,
schools.
Yep.
I mean, like, I want to brag about the SROs
yes,
and that unit because I work with those guys a lot, gals and guys a lot.
Yep.
They inform me, keep me aware if there's something that's, hey, if it's just is there something here? And then, you know, we've built cases upon that. So,
right.
I mean, it's, you know, working together and, there's a lot of folks that have done this before me that I have a kind of a networking group
mm-hmm,
that I can, so it's a team effort and definitely, I appreciate all the help, but yeah, I mean, SROs specifically in the elementary schools, that has proven to be fruitful, right. At least in what I do.
Yeah, and that's what's it's only been a few years now that because I remember when I was the supervisor of the unit, one SRO was having to split two schools. And Sheriff Campbell with the school system has been able to put an officer at each individual elementary school that we serve in our county. So that's 14. And some of those are far out and wide and out there alone. So that's that ultimate first responder there in case of anything that could go on. So and they've been told to call you. I mean, they call you with questions and comments and, you know, hey, what ifs and that kind of stuff. Because, you know, they get having that officer in the school, they're that expert to those parents. And so that parent that might not know what you do or know about the app is asking their school resource officer. Because that SRO is there for not only the students and staff, but the parents as well. So, well, thank you for what you do. And hopefully you stay busy. And I know that investigative part, getting out there and finding those guys and locking them up is a big deal. So we've got a couple of press releases, things to talk about when we come back. You're not going anywhere, so you're not leaving.
Yes, sir.
One of them is actually dealing with felony indecent liberty with a child. So maybe you can talk a little bit of that, what that's going on, and we'll talk. Oh, so we still have a little bit of time. We'll go ahead and introduce that real quick. This was just put out, I believe, on our Facebook. This was Charles Timothy Brown, 61 years old, of Statesville, between 2023 and March 24, two counts of felony indecent liberty with a child. Felony statutory sex offense. This case was part of the Special Victims Unit. Detective Cody James was assigned this case, and he deals with these sex crimes.
Okay? Yes, sir.
But the unique and unfortunate thing about this was that this bad guy was federally convicted in 2019 for cyber stalking and had done 43 months in federal prison. So when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about this case and anything else that you guys want to call into us. Stay tuned here at WSIC.
Keep it right here. The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell will return after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. It's The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Okay, when we left break, we were talking about one of our latest press releases involving Charles Timothy Brown of Statesville, two counts of felony indecent liberties with a child, felony statutory sex offense. These incidences were reported to the Sheriff's Office, Special Victims Unit, and the report was come in March of 24. But the unique thing that we found in this investigation was that Brown was federally convicted in 2019 for cyber stalking and sentenced to 43 months in prison, so federal prison. That charge came after Brown sent 700 harassing and intimidating text messages. In the messages, he talked about a weapon he owned, encouraged her to keep her doors locked. So it was a female victim he was texting, told her she would feel pain, caused the woman to fear for her life, and she took out that protective order prohibiting him from contacting her. So that's what you were talking about, the domestic violence protective order. Okay, so there doesn't have to be violence. There's a threat here. He's threatening to do harm, use a weapon, causing her fear. So she took that out. They were able to do the charge of cyber stalking back in 2019 and then 43 months in prison there. So
and that's exactly what the DVO or domestic violence protective order is for. Mm-hmm. I call it a DVO. I'm sorry.
Right, that's fine.
That's exactly a situation it's for. If we don't have something like that in play, this restraining order type thing, and
right.
he wants to continuously harass somebody by phone, cyber stalking, whatever mm-hmm. it is, mm-hmm. This just gives us one more weapon to be able to go and say, hey, you were told to stop by a judge already. This right. has been dealt with. and then it can, for a year or however long it takes to get it into some people's heads.
Right.
Some people don't, when they say it's over, they don't understand that. So this paper drives that home.
And you mentioned something about a judge. I know, too, there are, is it pre-trial release conditions?
Now, that's another part of it. If you get arrested for, say, domestic battery or
right.
assault on a female and there's a domestic relationship, whatever, or assault on a male or regular assault.
Yeah.
And there's a domestic situation between them, it's domestic related, then a magistrate will issue these pretrial release conditions.
Right.
And that's part of kind of what our DV side does.
Right,
so it's one of our other disciplines within SVU. But it is another way that if the magistrate says you guys stay away or they issue an ankle monitor, that's something that's come around.
Okay.
That's another way to try to protect the victims in these cases.
Right.
And we get notified, ankle monitor specifically, if they go into the exclusionary zones, these monitoring companies, they'll let us know and then we'll go try to locate bad guy and take him back to jail because he was told very plainly.
I was
going
to say, that's pretty much cut and dry. This is the blip on the map says you're here. The paper that you accepted says you're not supposed to be here. Let me show you where you're going to go now.
Right, exactly.
And we know where you are then. So Brown is in our facility under no bond because of this felony statutory sex offense and $50,000 for the felony indecent liberties with the child. So and that's all just because of the, I guess, how those crimes come down. I don't claim to understand why magistrates do what they do sometimes with those things, but. That's that. So we'll put that one away. Again, thank you.
And if Mr. Brown is convicted one day, he'll be on my registry list based off of those charges.
Yes, those charges. So, yeah, the cyber stalking, domestic charges from before, part of the special victims unit, but now these charges that the other special victims unit detective has done, he'll be on your registry. So the incident that I mentioned on Saturday was down off of Langtree Road. There was a call of a mentally disturbed person, and emergency services, the fire department was out there. There was threats rendered. The sheriff's office came in. There were shots fired. I mean, there's quite a bit of stuff that went on with that, and I mean, one of the things that shocked me and several people have talked about by looking on our app was the pictures and, you know, the Bearcat and the windshield shot and the hood shot. They were officers, deputies inside there. And that's how close that happened. And, you know, I know that with the turret up, the little thing there, there was someone behind that steel plate, and there's a bullet hole just inches from where that steel plate is. So, you know, I mean, it gives me goosebumps and chills. I get to think about it. The type of stuff that happens. And I mean, this is for those people that say, oh, we don't need that in Iredell County.
For the boots on the ground guys that are seeing that, and I wasn't there for any of the last couple ones, but I mean, been in hairy situations.
Right.
When we were talking about the magic that happens behind that, you know, admin like yourself and the sheriff and what they're fighting for us to get out here to be as safe as we possibly can, that is a godsend.
Right.
And I remember having to, years ago when I was here, I can't remember when, but there was another agency that lent us one, and I think that sold us on that, sold the sheriff.
And I don't know of all the details of the incidences, but I know when the Bearcat first debuted, so to speak, there was rifle fire that it took, and the sheriff was inside, and you know, that was in, I believe, Union Grove, and it was talked about then. Well, right there, I mean, any other vehicle's gonna, you know, the damage and potential life, you know, lost could be there. And now we've had several other incidences of that. Right. So I'll be fine if this is the last one.
Right.
I'm good with that. I mean, but just, you know, those.
But in case it does happen again, we're very grateful. The like I said, the boots on the ground guys for the equipment, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to that, I say drug dealers.
Thanks.
come here, sell your drugs. We'll take your stuff. We'll take your money. We'll make sure we protect our guys and gals. So sheriff's done a good job with that. Speaking of more money spent, the drug dealer's money. Have you got to ride on the boat yet?
I've been on the boat. I don't think I've got to ride yet.
Okay. All right.
I'm looking forward to that one day.
Yeah. Me too. We need to do that together. Okay. Citizens Academy. Teen Academy this summer. Maybe we can work that out because they had a fishing event where the deputies were out there with Operation North State. That happened just the other day. I think it was last week on Thursday, I believe. And it looks like Miss... is that Miss Taylor Lloyd, Miss North Carolina, was on the boat there. So even she's got to ride the boat. But
I met her the other day at the pancake breakfast, the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's very nice.
That was good. How come you didn't tell me you were there?
I wanted more pancakes. Steve,
so. All right. And we've got one of our newest deputies here to join the bailiff team, Deputy Alexander Clayton. He completed his BLET, the Basic Law Enforcement Training, in Mitchell Community College just earlier this year. He worked patrol for Cleveland Police Department, and now we've got him, and I'm sure he's here to stay, that bailiff position. That's a very esteemed, privileged position to be able to stand in court and see what's going on there. So you said you worked in the jail early on. Sure. That's one of the things Sheriff Campbell had started there and talked about, the value of that experience and knowledge to be able to do that. So
yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, I was 23 years old when I started, and there was a new level within the year, 2 years I was there, just a new level of maturity that will make any person. That place is just, it's good, it's bad. There's all kinds of in between. You learn so much. I think there's a lot of people that talk about starting their careers, that's a great place to start.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. We'll hire you today or tomorrow, right? It's 4 o'clock now, but we'll hire you tomorrow.
About tomorrow. Yeah.
Put you to work and right away, and we can get you the only job training. I know many of the instructors there at the detention center, sheriffs put those through that instructor school, where they able to give the own detention officer school through Mitchell, and within a year we've got you trained, and check out the app. The money's good. The opportunity's there for a career. We've got career people that's in there, career detention for career offenders.
Yep, that's the jail was one of the highlights of my career. I mean, I really got an opportunity to do a lot of different things within there. I got to actually, I was trusted with working inmates to go outside of the jail.
Oh, wow.
For a good year. Mm-hmm. And it was probably besides what I'm doing now, probably the best job I ever had at the sheriff's office.
Right, right.
Everybody was happy because they were getting their roads clean.
Yep.
Made the sheriff look good.
Right, right.
I got to go outside, see sunlight, and so did inmates.
You were
so,
making the roads look good. You were cleaning up the, and I know we've had, that's another thing, talking about saving taxpayers' money. That's pretty awesome that they keep up the flowers and plants around the detention center and mow the grass and take care of everything. And, whether it be cleaning the cars or getting some of the equipment ready to go wherever it's at.
And they're happy to do it because it makes their time go by. And I can say that from experience. Like, it's been several years since I've had that privilege. But when I was out there, those guys were raring to go.
Right.
So it's not an abuse. It's nothing, where we're taking advantage. It's voluntary service. These guys want their time to go by.
Right.
And I think every 15th day they might.
Yeah,
I think they give the cans they collect. They put in their. I don't know how it works now, but they get a little commissary money.
And those are a special class of offenders. This is not your sex offenders that you're watching out here.
No felonies are out there. We even had a bond limit that we would put on these guys. Right. Low level folks that are, sometimes it would be, less than $1,000 bond.
Right.
So. Right. No high risk. No high risk.
All right. Well, high reward. If you want to come in and get a job in the detention center, come out and see us this weekend at the volleyball games. Also, get your wife or daughters into the RAD class. Check us out online. Thank you, and tune in next week for the good, the bad, and the guilty.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.